Father, we thank you that by the power of your Spirit, you are very present amongst us this afternoon. And Holy Spirit, I pray that I too will flow with your Spirit. That, Lord, the people will receive what you want to say, the challenges you want to give, and that, Lord, they will respond to you and you alone. Amen. Throughout the week, God's been really emphasising about taking the land. And the land is, we are land, this is land, and they're all things that God wants us to take possession of. But there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And we need the right way. The right way is God's way. And I didn't know quite where to start. And 2 or 3 days ago, I was sat down and waiting before God. And I thought God was to say, give some background and start with the promise. So I'm going to start with the promise that God had given to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. His promise to them was, I will give you the land of Canaan. And Joseph, if you remember the story of Joseph, if you've never read it, it's in Genesis, and it's the most amazing story of how God took a man out of rejection and brought him to second in command in the land of Egypt. When Joseph was dying, he gave instructions to his brothers in Genesis 50 and verse 24. And he said to his brothers, I'm ready to die. God will most certainly, note that, God will most certainly pay you a visit and take you out of this land, which was the land of Egypt, and he will take you back to the land that he so solemnly promised to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. But when God makes this visitation, make sure you take my bones with you as you leave and you bury them in the promised land. He knew it was going to happen, even if he was not going to see it. How did he know? He believed God.
Yes.
If God says it, that's it. It's a done deal. It's finished. It's done. You can put your life on the line for it. God has promised. So some time later, we know about Moses, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. He himself didn't go into the promised land, but he led them to the borders. And God called Moses to lead them out and do this. And in Exodus chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Moses gathered the leaders of Israel. God said to Moses, gather the leaders of Israel and tell them that God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, appeared to me saying, I've looked into what's been done to you in Egypt. This is the people. And I've determined to get you out of the affliction of Egypt. And I'm going to take you to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. A land brimming with milk and honey. God is determined to give the people of Israel the land of promise. But there were many, many enemies that they had to overcome. And I want to say at this point, it's exactly the same with us today.
Yes.
God has given you some great and precious promises. But there will be many enemies to overcome that do not want you to get where God has promised to take you. And today we're going to learn how to overcome those enemies and be a winner and take the land. Amen. And it applies to the fellowship, to Harvest Field and to each of us individually. Well, we read in Numbers now. Numbers 13, and I'm reading from the Message, so you may not want to follow here. But Numbers 13 is about God commanding Moses to send 12 men into the land of Canaan and spy it out. Interestingly, this is Numbers chapter 13. And number 13 is the number of rebellion. I tell you, there's nothing lost in the Word of God. Even the chapter number tells you what's going to happen in that chapter. God is amazing. The greatest computer in the world cannot work him out. So don't you try. Just believe what he says. Just do it. That was the Nike thing, wasn't it? Just do it. And God says, just do it. Get on with it. Well, in Numbers 13, we read the account of God commanding, Moses commanding them to go and spy out the land. And let's start from verse 17. When Moses sent them off to scout out Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev Valley and then into the hill country, David. Look the land over and see what it's like. Assess the people. Are they strong? Are they weak? Are they few? Or are they many? Observe the land. Is it pleasant? Or is it harsh? Describe the towns where they live. Are they open camps or fortified with walls? And the soil, is it fertile or is it barren? Are there forests? And try to bring back a sample of the produce that grows there. This is the season for the first ripe grapes. With that they went on their way and scouted out the land. They went right through the land. And when they arrived at the Eshcol Valley, they cut off a branch with a single cluster of grapes. It took two men to carry it slung on a pole. Can you imagine that? They cut a bunch of grapes. And when we were in Southampton, believe it or not, that is the symbol of the council, because it's on the side of the taxis. And there are two men, and they've got a pole between them, one at the back, one at the front, and there's a huge bunch of grapes slung on that pole. It was nearly as tall as them. Wow! Is this a land of abundance or not? Is our God a God of abundance? He certainly is. Bigger than we can ever ask or imagine. After 40 days of scouting out the land, they returned home and they presented themselves before Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation of the people. They reported to them and showed them the fruit of the land, and then they told the story of their trip. In verse 27, we went to the land to which you sent us, and oh, it flows with milk and honey. Just look at this fruit. The only thing is that the people who live there, they're fierce. Their cities are huge and well fortified. And worse yet, we saw descendants of the giant Anak. Amalekites are spread out in the Negev. Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites hold the hill country. And the Canaanites are established on the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan. At this point, Caleb interrupted. He calls for silence before Moses and says, let's go up and take the land. Now we can do it. Amen. But the others said, we can't attack those people. They're way stronger than we are. And they spread scary rumours among the people of Israel. They said, we scouted out the land from one end to the other. It's a land that swallows people whole. Everybody we saw was huge. Why, even we saw the Nephilim, the giants. Along them, we felt like grasshoppers. And they looked down on us as if we were grasshoppers. They've got the totally wrong picture. They were looking at it from from a natural point of view. They said, "Poor, we feel like grasshoppers." They had grasshopper mentality. Children of God, do not allow yourself to get to grasshopper mentality, where you think that the promise God has given you is too big. Yes, it certainly is too big for you to do yourself, but it's never too big for God. And if it's big, you know God's given it to you. That's the certainty. He only gives big promises because He's a big God, and He will fulfill what He has said. Don't ever doubt Him. Joshua and Caleb's response was totally different. Chapter 14, verses 6 to 9, they said this: "The land we walked through and scouted out is a very good land, very good indeed. If God is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land that flows, as they say, with milk and honey, and He'll give it to us. Just don't rebel against God and don't be afraid." Have you got that? Don't be afraid of these people. Why? We'll have them for lunch. They have no protection. This is interesting. They have no protection. We have God on our side. Amen. We should be shouting now. We have God on our side. Don't you be afraid of them. But up in arms now, the entire community was talking of hurling stones at them. I think we'll stop there. The report of Joshua and Caleb was absolute faith in God. No, we definitely can't do it, but we know who can. Yeah. We know who's already conquered this land. All we have to do is obey it. Don't rebel. Don't do it your way. Get your hands off it. God has given the promise. God will fulfill it. In fact, the minute He gives it, it's yours. The minute He tells you about it, it's yours. You don't have to do anything else but believe Him. Amen? Praise God. Remember that. Yeah. Those who gave a bad report didn't enter the land. They never received the promise. They died in the wilderness. Only Caleb and Joshua entered that land. Why? Because they believed God. They were walking in faith and victory. They saw the promise. They didn't see the obstacles. They saw God. And they knew that He was bigger. They didn't have grasshopper mentality. They had the faith of God pulsing through their veins. To inherit the promise, God requires faith. And Romans 4 says, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Praise God. Amen. Woo! This is our land of promise. We're in it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
50% of the battle is won. Amen. The rest is to follow. This is our land of promise. And God said to me, and in fact I need to just mention this, years ago when we left Egypt for the land of promise, this man here, David, God anointed him with the Spirit of God. And he prophesied over us. This is why the Spirit of God is so crucial to hearing what God is saying to us and moving in the right direction. And David heard the Spirit of God and he prophesied over us and he said, God will take you to three wells. The first well will be strife. The second well will be contention. And the third well will be freedom. Amen. This is the well of freedom. And when Isaac got to the well of freedom, he went on to Beersheba. It was the oath well, the promised possession. And we're at the oath well. God has sworn on oath that this is our land. He's given us the place. This is our land. And we will take it, not in our own strength, but in God's strength. And he has said, I am placing you, that oath, was a wellspring of living water. What's the living water? The Spirit of God. This place will resonate with the Spirit of God. And how? Because his people will be filled with the Spirit of God, alive to the Spirit of God, pulsating with the Spirit of God, knowing what God is saying. That's the people of power that God is looking for. He wants to challenge us. Don't have a grasshopper mentality. You'll get nothing. You'll never enter into what God has for you. Be strong, be courageous, but that is yet to follow. So how do we achieve it? I just want to read here Matthew chapter 10. Because this is when Jesus called his disciples. He called them his harvest hands. And I'm going again from the message because it just speaks so simply of what God is expecting. He called them out and he gave them power to kick out the evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. He said, when he sent them out, don't begin by travelling to some far off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, the confused people right here in the neighbourhood. Tell them that the kingdom of God is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Come on. Touch the afflicted. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously. So give generously. Don't you dare sit and hide your talents and say, I can't do anything. We are a people of power, one body. Same focus, working together, everybody giving their all, just flowing. What God says do it, you will do it. God says give it, you will give it. That's one body, all ticking with the same vision, going to the same goal. And the last few lines of this chapter say, don't think that you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. Amen. And all that you need to keep going is 3 meals a day. You are the equipment. You're filled with my spirit. You have the power to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to open blind eyes. You do what Jesus did. What did he say when he left, when he went to heaven? What was the Great Commission? Go ye out into all the world. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Yes, that's the commission. It hasn't changed. So how do we achieve that level of faith and take possession? Well, exactly the same as Joshua did. Joshua 1, Stephen. Joshua 1. God's instruction to Joshua, and it hasn't changed. He's saying the same to us this very day. Joshua 1, God said to Joshua, I'm giving you every square inch of the land. It's all yours. He didn't say it will be. He says, it's done. It's all yours. I've put that on reserve for you. Nobody else can take it. It's yours. You've got it now. All your life, no one will be able to hold out on you. Nobody will be able to win over you. Amen? If that's happening, there's something wrong. Follow the instructions. I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. So no matter how impossible it looks, that word stands. He's not left you. He's not going to leave you, and he's not going to give up on you. Never, never, ever. He said, strength, courage. You are going to inherit the land that I promised you. Now here's the key. Give it everything you've got. Heart and soul, put it into it. Go for it and hold nothing back. Give everything you've got. Make sure you carry out everything that I have commanded you, every bit. No compromise. Don't try and work it out. Trust me, God says. I've said it, that's sufficient. Let it rest. I don't need your help. I've already done it. If you meddle, you'll undo what I've done. Get your hands off it. Just believe it. Receive it. Praise Him for it. Thank Him for it. Rejoice in it. Keep your eyes on it. Don't get off track, either left or right. Don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of your mind. Read it. You take medicine 3 times a day? What's wrong with reading the promise God has given you 3 times a day? Shout it into the atmosphere. How did God create the world? He spoke it into the atmosphere. And it was created by His words. The words you speak are very creative. What you speak happens. So keep your mouth shut if you don't want bad stuff to happen. If you can't say anything positive, if you can't say the word of God, if you can't agree with the word of God, keep your mouth shut, because you'll do yourself more damage by speaking the negative, the grasshopper mentality. It's faith. Faith. A people of faith. A people of power. Ponder this book. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate, chew it, read it, chew it, read it, chew it, read it, chew it. Ask the Holy Spirit to give His revelation of what He's actually saying personally to you. This is a personal relationship. This book is a very personal book. It's God and you. And then it says, practice everything that's written in it. Don't just be hearers of the word. We have to be doers of the word. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Do it. Do it. Do it. Become familiar with your Bible. And learn to follow the Spirit. It's not by coincidence that God's been giving me all this when we start Bible school on Tuesday. Bible school is all about this next session, hearing the voice of the Spirit of God, following the Spirit of God, recognizing the voice of the Spirit of God, knowing when it's God, when it's you. God is wanting to train us. You know, this is a sword. This is a sword of the Spirit. But you don't give a sword to somebody with no idea what to do with it, do you? Because they'll probably kill themselves in the process. sword is something that you have to be skillful in. It requires skillful swordsmanship training. That's what Bible school is. Skillful swordsmanship training. Knowing how to use this. Knowing where the scriptures are found. And so reading these scriptures so that when the devil throws something at you, you don't react like a grasshopper. You immediately listen to the Spirit of God inside of you and up pops a verse of scripture. And you think, God's speaking to me. That's the answer. That's what I need to stand on. That's what I need to throw at the devil. That's what I need to speak into the atmosphere. That's what God is saying. That's what I follow. That's what I do. All about what is God saying. And at the end of that, God said to Joshua, if you follow all these principles, if you follow this to the letter, then you'll get to where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you? Strength, courage, don't be timid, don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. You're never alone. You're never on your own. He's always there, and he's always got the answer. You know, God may have given you some personal promises. How do you feel about it? Have you got the grasshopper mentality? Do you see that the obstacles are bigger than the promise? If that's your vision, then I would say to you, your problem is not bigger than God. And in Zechariah 4, the last time I spoke on Zechariah 4 and verse 6, what did God say to the people? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, I will do it,
yes.
Not you. And what does God say to you? He says, go to your Bible, and I say as well, go to your Bible and ask God to speak to you about your mountain. Whatever it is, God has something to say about your situation. You will never go through anything that there isn't an answer in here for. That's why you need Bible school, because you need to know where to find it. You need to know how to hear him. You need to have the scriptures, your sword ready, because the devil will come when you're at your weakest point. And I'll tell you now, when God's given you a promise, everything will go in pear-shaped, it'll all go in the other direction. And the devil's saying, tell you, don't work. Get your sword out and hit him with it. Speak it into the atmosphere and send him rolling. You don't do it. God does it. The word of God in your mouth sends the devil rolling. Amen. And I look to see him roll because he attacks us plenty. But we are stronger in the name of the Lord than the devil. Anything the devil can throw at you. When he gives you a word, when you say, God, give me a promise, give me a word, something to fight back with. Immediately you believe that. Immediately you start speaking that. The work's done. It's finished. You've won it. Whether it looks like it or not, it's done. Don't question it. It's done. Just keep speaking it and speaking it and speaking it and looking at it and meditating on it and fill your mind with it day and night. And then you'll see. It will happen. Sometimes you have to stand. Might only be a day. Might only be an hour. It might be a year. It might be 25 years. God said he's here for the long haul. Are you? I am. Whatever it takes, how long it takes, it's already done. It will happen. End of story. Amen. Psalm 33 and verse 9 in the message, it says it there. The minute God spoke, there it was, in the place, the minute he said so. When God's given you the promise, it's done. It was just there. The minute you say so, it's done. It's finished. All the devil wants to do now is try and steal it from you. And you are the only ones who can stand against it. You choose whether you think like a grasshopper or you're going to speak God's word. Amen. I had one of those instances this morning when I woke up. God was at the Isaiah 40 was on my mind. And the authorized version came up. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You've already had weights on the Lord today. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I want to read it again from the Message. And I'm going a little further earlier in the chapter, and it's verse 27. And it says in the Message, why would you ever complain or whine, saying that God has lost track of me? He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see and all you can imagine. He doesn't get tired out. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything, inside and out. He energizes those who get tired. Praise God. Woo! He gives fresh strength to the dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime, they stumble and they fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and they soar like eagles. They run and they don't get tired. They walk and they don't get weary. Whoa! We're energized by, that's why we need the Spirit of God. We're energized by the Spirit of God. The minute you hear the Word of God, the minute I heard that voice this morning, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up like wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. God, my spirit leapt and I was ready for the day. Amen. Woo! Praise God. It's interesting. Why does God talk about, or Isaiah there through God the Spirit talk about the eagle? Well, apparently when the eagle spreads its wings, when there is a storm raging, the eagle spreads its wings and it allows the turbulence to lift it higher and higher and higher until it's away from the influence of the storm. It goes to the highest point that it can go. And up there, you can't feel a thing. That's why God says you need eagle's wings. Go where you can't feel it. When I'm focusing on the Word of God, I can't feel a thing. Well, I can feel what God's saying, but the storm is irrelevant. Whoo, whoo, whoo. It stays up there, looking down on the storm, but the eagle is unaffected by it. That's a beautiful picture. Get up there, get in here. And you'll be totally unaffected by what's happening. What matter what the devil, the showman, is doing? He's only a showman, just blowing away with the Word of God. God wants us looking down on it, but not affected by it. And the last thing he wants you to do is meddle in it. He says, cast all your cares onto me, for I care for you. watchfully and affectionately. I have a plan. Let me do it. Get your hands off. Psalm 91. Again in the Message, it says this. Even though others succumb all around you and drop like flies right and left, no harm will even graze you. You'll stand untouched. What does the eagle do? Flies untouched. You will stand untouched. You will watch it all from a distance. What does the eagle do? He watches it all from a distance. You will watch the wicked turn into corpses. Amen, Katrina. Yes. Why? Because God's your refuge. Yes. And evil can't get through the door. Woo! Devil, you can't stand on my territory. You're not stealing this promise from me. You're not stopping me getting to that promised land. I am going to do it because God says so. Amen. We choose. Grasshopper, faith. There isn't a choice, is there? There isn't. God has promised. He will do it. Watch and wait. However long it takes, watch and wait.